The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The church cries today with the voice of John, in the wilderness of this world, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Even as she, the church, was prepared with grace, like Our Lady, immaculate, all holy. And in her, in this church of ours, the Catholic Church, you see in every age the gospel prophecy fulfilled. This is the place of straightened paths, straight as in strict, narrow, demanding. This is the place of leveled hills and mountains. That's for humility. The contractors of Mother Church have a fleet of bulldozers, and they are always in them. Straightened out roads as well. There's that word again. Roads that were so crooked. You know, like the bend in Rialto Road? Every time Father Cicada drives it, he makes a comment about how annoying that is and how someone really needs to straighten it out again. And I know it's done in one or two of our young drivers over the years. And everything becomes smooth, though. That's the thing. It gets taken care of. The rough stuff goes. It's smoothed away. And what do you see in her, in the Catholic Church? The salvation of God. She is here to save our souls. Not to save the earth, not to solve the world's problems, or undo global warming and banish greenhouse gases. Oh, and while you're at it, could you take a look at poverty and war and that terrible resurgent racism some people think we're suffering today? The salvation of souls. This she can do and does brilliantly in every age because she is holy. Our Lord made her that way, like his blessed mother, meriting this by his death, his precious blood, to render her, St. Paul, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And there is nothing you have to do about it. Nothing you can do about it. Only about you. The church's sanctity, her four marks for a Christian, are what salvation is for a Protestant. No human effort is required. Just accept it as such from God. There's no theory you need to buy into in order to guarantee these marks. She is the bride without stain. She is a spouse, immaculate. If she is not apostolic or holy, say, why then that's not the Catholic Church. Devout Protestants, and there are many, devout Protestants, someone once said, think it's up to them to be holy in order to bring up the average of holiness in their denomination. But we Catholics, we think of the church as something already perfectly holy. Whether we are or not, we don't imagine it's our job to make her holy any more than it would be to keep her apostolic or one. Some good Catholic people worry terribly today about divisions. But if there are divisions among Catholics, it's mostly, as in Corinth, due to personalities or politics, some point perhaps of policy, some squabble over power. But if it's about doctrine revealed by God, why, you'd want to hear about it, after all, out of charity, because we must keep the faith. It's not enough to say, well, they're good Catholics too, you know. Let's all be good Catholics. And yet if we are Catholics, we are one. We follow the faith. The lowest common denominator, however, I warn you, is not the rule of faith. There were divisions at Corinth. That's what got St. Paul going in today's epistle. He had preached there first, this big, powerful, worldly, and very sinful city. He had preached there first, but he wasn't much of a preacher. He was a little on the dry side. He said, I just preach Christ and him crucified. Then after him came Apollo. He was a brilliant orator. People were, as they say, spellbound. He had a lot of followers. And then they started to divide up into groups. And then somebody remembered, what about Peter? He's the Pope after all. And then some finally said, I'm just going to stick with Jesus. Poor Jesus, such splits in his church, and so early on, and it has never stopped since. But the church is and has ever been one as she is holy. What about us, we Catholics? Catholics, yes, for all of our faults. You see, we're not the people pushing the cart up the hill. We hang on to it, and we ride along with it, like one of those deluxe walkers with wheels. It's really the walker doing the hard work to keep you from falling, but you're under your own steam as well, aren't you? It takes a cooperation. The church, this church of ours, the Catholic, is a reservoir, a powerhouse of holiness. It is not a club for people striving for sanctity, sort of a spiritual gym for your workout once a week. She's our mother, our holy mother. Now, how is the church holy, our catechism? The church is holy because she teaches us a holy doctrine. She is offering to everyone the means of holiness. She is distinguished, this is the catechism's elegant phrase, by the eminent holiness of so many thousands of her children. But what does it mean to be holy? To be holy is to be like unto God. It's not just the external appearance. In other words, you mustn't think somebody is pious if he looks pious. He folds his hands right in church and doesn't look all over the place and prays attentively. Those are good things to do in church, of course, but they don't prove sanctity. But our Lord made a prayer which was efficacious for his church at the Last Supper. John 17:17, Father, sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. And he tells us at the Sermon on the Mount, be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Notice that all holiness for our Lord is oriented towards the Father, his Father and ours. The church is holy in her founder, first of all. We were not founded by a good man, but by the God-man. No other religion can claim that. Most false religions were founded, as a matter of fact, by moral monsters. Mohammed, Henry VIII, and Luther, truth to tell, was not much better. Or they were founded at least by men with all of their faults, as well as their aspirations, like other men, not so the church. The church, secondly, is holy in her purpose, her end, to make all flesh see the salvation of God, to save our souls, to get us home to heaven safe with God. She's holy, next, because of her doctrine. Her doctrine is from God. God is all true. Every last bit of it matters, and it all breathes an air of piety and of the supernatural, as well as brilliant logic and the rest. And she's holy, too, in the demands that she, Mother Church, makes on us, her children, that we must pray and we must receive the sacraments for that pouring in of grace and strength, but that before we do so, we have to examine ourselves, our consciences. We must do penance. There are days of fast and of abstinence. Oh, don't forget Christmas Eve. That's a traditional day of fast for those so bound, and for everyone, counter to modern custom, it's still a day of abstinence, as it has been in the church for so many centuries. Don't eat meat on Saturday. And then there are the commandments, morality. In the Catholic Church, you're actually supposed to keep the Ten Commandments. And then there are all the helps that are given. In addition to these, the use of the sacramentals and the holy water and the scapulars and the statues and the crucifixes and the religious orders and the confraternities. The Catholic Church is holy in her members. Oh, we know, we saints, as St. Paul calls us, are not saints, not yet. Still, the church saves souls, which means she produces saints. Children and men and women and religious and widows and virgins and martyrs and confessors and parents and babies, of course, too. They're all of them called to be saints. And who else has saints except for the Catholic Church? The Novus Ordo despises saints. Remember how in the Revolution they took them all out of the church and then downgraded them in their feasts and their novenas? And if they do manage to canonize a saint, it's almost always one of ours from the old days, or else it's just obviously phony. And miracles. We rejoice in miracles, and there still are miracles to be had today. But what holiness the church in every age has inspired and sustained, because she is holy. Are all of the members of the church holy? Not necessarily. Is every Catholic going to go to heaven? Not necessarily. Of the 12, there was a traitor, Judas, and he went to hell. And yet we say the church is holy. And what about the crimes of churchmen in the past? Renaissance tales of worldly cardinals poisoning each other. Yes. And the church is holy. And of bad priests in modern times and all the rest. Yes. And the church is holy. Even the bad reputation we Catholics sometimes have. You know, mamas don't let your daughters marry them Catholic boys. They do whatever they want to all week long, and then they go to confession on Saturday, and We'll start over again on Monday. And yet, the church is holy. We're oozing saints out of every pore. And everything you look at and hear and think of and touch in the church is only an incentive to sanctity. And if it doesn't take, it's only your fault. Love the church. She's little loved today and much disrespected. Like an unappreciated mother, she's attacked even. And never say, I heard this the other day, never say, well, I didn't leave the church left me. No, that's nonsense. Oh, maybe raccoons got in the walls, or there have been rats in the rafters, or they put up yet another false one. But the church, she could never teach us wrong or give us anything harmful to our souls. And never say, well, in the end, one church is good as another. No, be proud to be a Catholic. And when you say in the creed that you believe in the Holy Catholic Church, you say, remember, I believe holiness is a good thing. And that holiness would be a good thing for me. God bless you. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.